I was driving, and the first thing I saw was the Episcopal Church and a man holding the door for a woman with a baby going in. And so I prayed for him to be saved, and then I thought, I'll pray for the whole Episcopal Church there to be saved. And then as I started turning the corner, I looked, and there's all these cars down the street at the other church, the Congregational Church. And, you know, we kind of think of that church as a social community, which they are. They're very social. And so I had, you know, immediately that prejudicial thought. And then I said, no, I'm going to pray for that church. Everybody in that church should be saved. And then as I was going around the corner, I always see this woman with a corgi walking her dog on Sunday mornings. And, you know, I always wave to her, and she never waves back. So I prayed for her, and then I thought, you know what? Start praying just for every single person in Roxbury to be saved, that not one would be lost. Mm-hmm. And it just gave me a great sense of joy, and I wasn't rattled anymore, and I had these things to do. And as soon as I pulled in, there was Bill, and there was Harry to help me handle my things. And I just felt blessed.
You know? Amen. Thank you.
Well, I just Roxbury. I am. I'm Danbury.
Well, I think what it was just for me today for Roxbury, because I'm living here. But you're right, it's the whole world. But how often do I even pray for the whole of Roxbury to be saved?
I look at things differently because I'm a builder. And so I see Christ as the chief cornerstone and the one. But when I think about him joining everything together, he's the mortar that holds all the bricks together. Mm-hmm. Because you can stack all those bricks and all that stuff all you want. They'll eventually come apart. So the mortar's the whole. And as you guys are talking, I'm thinking, and we as the church in our communities, mm-hmm. we need to be the mortar that holds the community together. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of what the church was to America 200 years ago or 300 years ago, and it was the first building built in towns. Mm-hmm. You know, and typically the minister of those churches were the leader of the town also. And we've lost that today. You know, we have a presence in these towns, but we don't have a whole lot of. And I think we need to become that mortar back in these towns that holds things together, and mm-hmm. that we become more leadership within the towns and stuff like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For those of us who are joining us on the tape, because we didn't start right away, today is session 9, and we are studying Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And last week, Jeff reminded us that the two major themes of Paul's letter to the Ephesians are the person of Christ and the unity of the church. And there are many, many verses that talk about this aspect of being joined together in Christ and the unity of the church. And I just have listed a few, and I'm again going to just ask for volunteers if we could kind of go around now and just would people offer to read these various verses and let me know. Matthew 19. Bill? Okay. And Acts 1.
Okay. I'll read that one.
Okay. Thank you. And Romans 6.
I'll read that one.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians. Harry? Oh. Philippians 2.
Okay, I'll take it. Okay.
You're going to do Philippians 2.
No. Okay. You do 1 Corinthians. I'm doing Philippians.
And Colossians 2.
I'll do Colossians.
Okay, thank you. So if you could look those up.
Okay.
Give everyone just a second to be ready so that they can listen to the other readings and kind of focus on what the Lord is saying to us this morning about being joined together in unity. Okay, Bill, please.
Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate."
Oh, man, that's powerful. I mean, being joined together in the church is like being joined together in a marriage. That's the kind of relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ that we have, that mortar, Christ holding us together. Isn't that powerful? Thank you. Tansy.
Then he returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Amen. Thank you, Tansy. Acts 1, verses 12 to 14. And in the NIV, the word united, they were united in prayer, is there. So, again, we're joined together for a purpose. And one of the main purposes to be in prayer with each other, for the world, for Roxbury. That is a key, you know, we aren't just put together to sit there and look good. You know, we have these purposes, and prayer is a key one. And Diana, Romans 6.
Verses 4 through 7. We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have life, we may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin.
Amen. Thank you. So there again is that mortar Mark was talking about. We are united not just horizontally with each other. We are united vertically with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are being held together in him, by him, for him, united with Christ in life, in life, in the life that matters, the life that counts, the eternal life in him. And Harry, 1 Corinthians.
Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment.
Thank you, Harry. So just the fact that this is kind of an admonition, Paul is pleading with the Corinthians, because what's happened is the bricks are starting to slide off of each other. They're leaning in their own directions. They are developing their own agendas. They have a different idea about this, you know, this is what we're supposed to focus on. And, well, no, this is, yeah. So there's this division that's beginning. And Paul is pleading for them to be remember their unity and the source of their unity. And that they be intentional about not heading off in different directions. And it's an admonition that I think every body of Christ needs to hear fairly regularly. Because left to our own devices, we can head off in multiple directions. Nancy, Philippians 2.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose.
Thank you. So united is right up front in that passage, and it leads all the way through to God ultimately working in and through each one of us if we are humble enough to submit ourselves to his lordship and his work. So it's united with Christ, God working through us, but encouraging each one of us to consider not only our own interests, but the interests of others. So there's that vertical and the horizontal tied together, united in Christ, united with each other, and allowing God to be doing his work through us, all in that passage. And Mark, Colossians 2.
My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they might know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Amen. Thank you. So we learn from each other. You know, we all just don't go into our prayer closets with our Bibles, and hopefully we do for a time, and receive revelation and seek God's face. But then we come together in gatherings just like this and learn what God has shown to each other, to each of us. And in that we become strengthened and encouraged and united even more strongly in Christ. So current applications, and this is just what the Lord put on my heart. When I went through Stephen Ministry training, that's a training designed to help lay people come alongside people who are going through a life crisis, whatever it might be. Loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of relationship, illness, any of those types of crises that occur to us because we're human beings living in a fallen world, living in the world. One of the things that we learned there is, though, there's a great symbol. The Chinese language is kind of pictographic. It uses symbols for words. And the Chinese writing for crisis combines two symbols. And one is danger, which we would expect, but the other is opportunity. Mm-hmm. Puts those two together and says, here's a crisis. So that crisis represents both of those things. It could lead either way, depending upon how we respond to it and how we're guided through it. Mm-hmm. And we are embarking right now. I don't know that we want to call it a crisis, but it's a huge change in our lives as a church.
It's a crisis.
I guess we could call it a crisis. But it's a major, major change. We're about to go from being kind of the quiet, unknown meet in the town hall to putting a light on the hill. You know, we are putting a light on the hill, praise God. Mm-hmm. That's happening. And it is a great adventure, a new parsonage, a new sanctuary. But because we're going to be a light on the hill, we are now on the radar screen. And so we know, or we need to, I think, be aware and anticipate that we're going to be attacked. I believe Satan is going to throw, in some ways has already. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I hear a neighbor say, one of our new neighbors kind of say, well, churches ought to be in the center of town. I mean, that's not a terrible thing to say, but that's, you know, but that's kind of an easy one. But I think what I think we need to be very focused on and intentional and be thinking about is I believe that Satan can come in and have us start to look horizontally at each other and start to have those questions about, well, are they really doing everything they could be doing to help realize this wonderful new mission that we have? You know, I'm doing this. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and start to be looking, you know, mm-hmm. as I said, horizontally, and start to question motives, start to question actions, and start to divide. Mm-hmm. And start to have a little bit of judgmental aspect about that. I think it's a real danger. And I think we don't need to be afraid of it, but we need to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And we need to know that the person behind this is our enemy, the enemy of our souls, because just as he never wanted Jesus to make it to the cross to save us, he does not want any light on any hill in any city, much less right here in Roxbury. Mm-hmm. So we need to just be aware of this mm-hmm. and be ready in prayer to counteract it and respond to it and not let us break apart. And where I was led in terms of scripture, if I could ask for a volunteer to read Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Great. Nice job.
Yes. Oh, lift great. Ahead.
Okay. All right. Good job.
It says here, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here all idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about that 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Mm-hmm. And am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Mm-hmm. So the last will be first and the first last.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. There's so much in there. And, and I know that we've all read this passage and studied this passage many times. But I think what struck me in context of what we're studying today is the fact that the first workers were really paying attention to what those last workers were receiving. they were focused on, and when they saw those last workers getting a denarius, their first thought was, okay, then I'm going to get two or three or, you know, multiply that, whatever it might be. But their focus was on, I did X, they did Y, mm-hmm. I'm doing more, I ought to have my name on the pew, whatever it might be. But they were looking at each other, and they were looking at the way that God was blessing everyone and then comparing themselves mm-hmm. based on their efforts mm-hmm. with other people. Dangerous. And, of course, God said what he said. I'm generous to everyone, and I promised everyone. And, of course, the blessing is eternal life, which is, you know, there's no greater equalizer than the gift of eternal life. That is the gift, eternal life in heaven with him. So, but that's what hit me. When people start looking at each other and comparing my efforts with your efforts and yours with yours, and then I start to value on efforts, dangerous. Yeah. And it's not what God has for us. Mm-hmm. No. It truly is not.
That horizontal focus.
That horizontal yeah. focus is really...
Common sense is not in God's equation. Yeah. Yeah. Our common sense does not equate to God's economy.
Amen. Amen. Rosie?
Well, you know how Lord says, so foolish to compare. And yesterday's mm-hmm. devotion, my utmost, worst, highest, is the same thing in John 21, 22. Mm-hmm. Peter said, Lord, what about them? Remember?
Yes.
And then the Lord said, what's it to you? You follow me.
Amen. Amen. Perfect. Perfect scripture. Yeah. Thank you.
It also brings bondage, you know.
Yeah.
Because then you start comparing to each other. You say, I'm going to keep up with the Joneses. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then, but you're not necessarily doing what God called you to do. You know, I'm doing this because I'm going to win, or I'm doing this because nobody else is doing it, or I'm doing it for the wrong reason. And the reason is that God has called you to do it. And if God calls you to do it, it's just you and him. It has nothing to do with whether or not this person over there is doing their part or not doing their part.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you're doing it as unto the Lord. So that's what you're called to do. So.
Amen. And that last passage from Philippians.
And that's freeing.
That is freeing. Yeah. That is freeing. Because you can trust it. Then you just lay the outcome. You know he's got it. And that God, you know, wills and acts in us according to his good purposes. You know, that last passage from
that's
Philippians.
That's so freeing.
So it truly is.
For the Lord, you know.
Take the burden
and it's
off.
Easier said than done. Because a lot of times I have it here, but I don't have it in action.
Practice.
Yeah. You know, I think the enemy just comes in with these, they sound very nice, mm-hmm. but they're not, really.
Yeah.
You know, like, just simple things, like comparing to another church. Well, they're doing this over there, and they're doing this over there, and they're doing this. Well, hopefully they're following the Lord over there. Mm-hmm. But we're to follow the Lord. We're not to be looking and saying, but they did this over there. I mean, just little simple things like, well, why can't we have a church like that? Well, because we're following the Lord and we don't know how he's going to put this together.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, I'm just telling you just simple things I've heard in the last day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in the entranceway we really need to have wallpaper. Because wallpaper is very...
And maybe we will.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I said. I said, well, maybe we will. But I thought, it's just, we all have our own opinions about what would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you start pushing those opinions, you know. And I'm not saying that anybody that I spoke with was pushing their opinions, but immediately in my heart I was like, this is dangerous.
I've been through a building program where just that happened, and I've been praying for exactly what you said, because it's so easy to do on a human level.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pretty thing.
Yeah.
A color of rugs was the problem there.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah.
That was a big problem. So,
you know,
you have to laugh about it because it's...
Yeah, because it's so sad, actually.
Exactly.
And you have, but you do have to be aware.
And I think there's a huge aspect of trust here in trusting that, you know, God is going to give each one of us the direction, and we'll come to that in our prayer concerns as well, but just trusting that this is going to be done, and if we allow it, it'll be done in God's will and in God's way and in God's time, and that he will guide us through it together, and that we could submit to each other and take joy in the process.
Right.
Yes.
You know, this is an exciting, it truly is amazing
opportunity.
Just amazing. Yeah. And so hope is that we can take joy in the process. So that it comes down to who will we focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone would read Matthew 14, verses 22-32.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Mm. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down.
Mm-hmm. We're getting out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I first heard about, I'll be frank with you, when I first heard about this, and I shared it with Pastor Mark, I mean, there's something very comfortable about being a renter. Really, I mean, we don't have to worry about anything here other than having the key to the building. And we come in, and yes, it's extra work, and tremendous, you know, Jackson, all of you men who do this work week in and week out, getting things set up and taking it down. But we don't have the burden, if you will. So there's, that's been the boat you know, for kind of 17 or 18 years now. We're getting out of the boat. And who are we going to look at? Mm-hmm. And we need to be fixed on Jesus, because he's the one. The moment we look around and look at reactions, mm-hmm. responses, the wind, the waves, we're in trouble, and we will start to sink. Mm-hmm. So our focus needs to be on our Lord. I truly believe this. To me, this is confirmation that God wants this to happen, because the price of that land was cut in half. Mm-hmm. That was it. You know, we wouldn't have had really an opportunity to think seriously about it. But God cut the price of that land in half. That opens the door. Mm-hmm. So we're getting out of the boat, stepping through the door. And now we need to keep our eyes on our Lord, because he will. He will guide us every step of the way if we let him. And if we rest in him, and if we just trust in him for in every decision, if we're humble and willing to submit, this light is going to shine so brightly. Just amazing. Mm. Which leads to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, if someone would.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. I love this image, because the angels, thousands upon thousands, but however many, are rejoicing. Here it is. Here's going to be this another light shining in the darkness of the world. Okay? And there is rejoicing in heaven about the possibilities of this. We can count on that. We were promised that. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All the people who went before us, all the saints, everyone in the heavenlies is there supporting us and encouraging us. It's the image, when I first heard this passage preached about, it was related to the New York City Marathon and the image of runners who are being encouraged along the way. We are being encouraged. Everyone in the heavenlies wants to see this happen. And we can count on that. And so we just, I think, need to take joy and comfort in that reality as well. We're not here alone. Certainly, the prevenient grace of God is going before us in this process. And we are being cheered on by more than any football stadium.
Can we read the third verse, too? Because I just think that's so important. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There will be opposition. There has been.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that in the Roman days, when they run a race, they have a weight that they carry at the starting line. And we have starting blocks to push off. They have to wait. So that for Newton's law, for every action, there's opposite
momentum,
reaction.
Right.
So they swing the weight back and drop it, and then they go off. You don't carry the weight with you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Do us do that, don't we?
Interesting.
Right?
No.
I do.
Carry the weight?
Yeah,
I'm
in a race,
carrier.
And I'm holding on to all this stuff.
Yeah, me too. That's me.
Yeah, I know, see?
So just in terms of encouragement and our prayer focus, I would encourage us to be praying for ourselves, and just praying it back to that Philippians, God who works in us to will and act according to his good purposes. But what has God given to me that I can contribute to this work? I'd encourage everyone to just spend some time praying about that, thinking about that, even, you know, talking with other brothers and sisters about that. You know, here's something I think. What do you think? You know, does this make sense to you? But because we've all received, we all have received gifts, whatever they may be. You know, Nancy will verify this. I cannot paint, but I can carry paint cans. You know, just all of those kinds of things. What can we offer? And God will make it clear, because he's not going to ask any one of us to do it all. He's only going to ask us to do what he's equipping us to do.
Yeah.
It may surprise us what he's equipped us to do, for this project, but I think this is part of submitting to him, seeking his face, seeking his will. How does he want to use us? And then encourage each other in this process, you know, and celebrate what God is doing through. We aren't judging, we're celebrating.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, that's great, you know. And I'm glad you're doing that because I couldn't. You know? I'm glad God revealed that to you because, you know.
And it's unifying.
And it is unifying. Yeah. We're all celebrating what God is doing. He's put all of us together. And here's the other thing about the workers at the 11th hour. I think there will be some people coming at the 11th hour. Let's celebrate them.
Yeah,
right. You know, praise God. You know, I'm trusting there will be some people at the 11th hour. However they show up and whatever gifts they bring, praise God. It's going to be part of his design for them.
Because that's when the first hour workers are tired.
Going to be tired.
I think another good, and this kind of ties with what Tanji was saying earlier, to pray for every person who works on these buildings. I just had this image. I mean, we're going to have a lot of people coming in to literally do the work, craftsmen, architects, engineers, laborers. But if we can pray for them, first and foremost, they'd be saved. That somehow in this process, you know, God's going to reveal himself to them. They're working on a sanctuary. They're working on a parsonage. This is not just the house. This is a house of God.
Yeah.
And that God will reveal himself. And I really pray they will see Christ in us. That our relationships with them, that we aren't going to be the typical commercial building owner or homeowner who's, you know, controlling, maybe angry, maybe frustrated, maybe any of those things. That we are, in fact, Christ to each one of these people. That they see Christ in us. Maybe it'll be the first time they've seen him. We may be the letter from Christ that they read. We may be the first Bible they see. But may they see Christ in us. May they be saved. May they be physically safe. That's a real prayer. Any of these jobs are risky and dangerous and involve possible injury if people aren't totally alert and...
Especially when you have volunteers around construction site. That's always a concern when we have people that come in. And we've actually asked people before to please not show up with little children because, you know, when there's 40 people on a job and there's stuff moving around, they don't know. They just don't know.
Yeah.
And so, those are legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
Really legitimate concerns.
Yeah. So we need to be continually praying for that. And we need to be wise. And, again, we need to submit to voices of experience. Yeah. And not force myself, I'm going to do this. We need to be submitting to each other and to wisdom and experience. And I think, pray for everyone involved in this project that ultimately they join a Christian community. It doesn't have to be Chippewa Valley Bible Church, but somewhere. That somewhere out of this experience that they are saved and they want to become faithful servants and disciples and they connect somewhere in a place where they are hearing truth and growing in Christ-likeness. I think these are just important prayers for everyone who comes into contact with us in the course of this project. And then I love, last week we were, you know, Pastor Michael talking about streams of living water. Streams of living water will flow from this new parsonage and this new sanctuary. And I think it's good for us to just pray about what might they be. Tanzi was just talking about, you know, this church is doing that, and this church is doing that. God has a plan. Again, he's not just putting up this building to shine a light, if you will. There's going to be an outflow of his grace and mercy and love and ministry in the healing and reconciliation and drawing together of people in Christ. But that takes, as we all know, we've all experienced all kinds of different forms. So I think it's good for us now to be in prayer. I have a prayer. There's a wonderful program for people who are bound in addictions called Celebrate Recovery. It comes out of Saddleback Church, Brick Orange Church out in California. I've participated in the Jefferson County Jail. Designed for anyone who's in any kind of addiction, but as opposed to like an Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, this is based in Scripture and is based in Christ and based in the reality that it is Christ who changes us and sets us free. So, I know it's a wonderful ministry. Whether or not our new sanctuary might become a center for that ministry, God knows. But one of my prayers is that might be a possibility God knows. But I think all of us have in our hearts, you know, could there be a food bank? Could there be a literacy center? You know, people can't read the Word of God unless they can read. And there are just so many people who can't read. All kinds of visions God is going to give to us that we can bring to each other and talk about. And again, we aren't meant to be everything. We can't. Mm-hmm. But God will make it clear, you know, here's why I worked for you to build the sanctuary. There will be streams of living water that are flowing out and ministering to people right here in Roxbury and beyond. So just to be in prayer about what does that look like to you? What is God saying to you about what that might be? And then we bring it together and we see. And it could be something for this season and something else for this season again. That's the amazing thing about bodies of Christ as we change as people come and go, but that's God putting people together to act in His will for His good purposes, if we let Him and ask.
You know, it's just interesting because all these things take time, and you know, many of us have been together for a very long time, and so you hear visions people have, and I know Bill had this vision years ago, and I think Mark and Denise were involved in that too with. You know, they would like to be able to go and help people that are in need in the community, you know, with maybe raking or whatever, and involve the young people. And so Bill's idea was, you know, we need to get a van, you know. And so, you know, you hear these things and you think, yeah, and then nothing happens because it's not God's time. Well, 2 weeks ago, Barbara called up Michael and said, we have a van that we are using for the senior center, and we'd like to donate it to Chippewa Valley Bible Church.
Wow.
Michael hasn't told you that yet. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I thought he did last Sunday.
Act surprised, Bill.
Okay.
Anyways, no. You know, the problem with the van is just that it needs air conditioning. They can't be bringing senior citizens around, you know, and they want to just donate it. To Chippewa Bible Church. And so I immediately went, oh my goodness, this is the answer to Bill's prayer. You know, that Bill was saying all those years ago. So a lot of times there's a vision you get, and just like with Abraham and in the beginning, things took a long time to come together. Yeah. But it's just exciting when you see,
it's not just the van, it's just the the idea that Chippewa is worthy of getting something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've been here, we've been trying to establish that we are a body that helps people. Mm-hmm. So that van's been sitting there. You know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not the material thing, it's just the idea that they want to help us.
Yeah.
It's all about being led by the Holy Spirit, too. Mm-hmm. When you said that, I thought of Mary. She says she pondered these things in her heart when she saw confirmation after confirmation about what she had heard in her heart and from the angel. And we have to learn not to rush ahead.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be behind. We don't want to lag behind. It'd be lazy, slothful. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe put that on our hearts years ago, Mark and I, and a couple years, right?
Oh, it's been about 6 or 8.
But we weren't in a position to do
right.
it. You know, we tried. We took it as far as we could, and then you just lay it down again. Yeah. And in His timing, He'll bring it, and He'll bring the people to do it, and all the resources you need. Mm-hmm. But you can't rush ahead, and you can't lag behind either. Mm-hmm. So as you see those things happen, then you can go again. It's free. Mm-hmm. It's not in bondage. Mm-hmm. I have to do this. It's
right. Mm-hmm.
It's free, so that's cool.
I mean, Michael had a good week last week, and not physically. He had a very bad week physically, but a very good week. He said it just seemed like everywhere he went, something good happened. Mm-hmm. Like some guy, he was getting his hair cut, and some guy said, "You know, I see you all the time." And he said, "I see you in the market, and I just want to introduce myself. And I'm glad you're building a church." And
Then
he's part of the senior center, runs the senior center over there. So they asked him for the Veterans Day if he would pray. And they never want Michael to pray. They never let Michael pray. Yeah. They always have some New Age person pray or something.
Wow. Cool.
And they ask Michael to pray.
Praise
and
God.
So he said, this is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
So,
huge.
You know, things, little praise things Lord. Like that.
Mm-hmm. In John, prevenient.
Amen. Joe?
If I could just add my two cents here.
Of course.
I was a member of the Bible Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And we had this member there that was part of the original group that started in the kitchen, and they grew and they rented a place, and then they grew some more and they decided they wanted to build a church. And one of the people knew a real estate person, just started talking. He said, well, you know, I own this piece of land on Route 7. You know, you can have it for whatever you think. So they got that. Once they had the land, they went to a bank. The bank immediately gave them a loan. And that's how the whole Bible Baptist Church started. Mm-hmm. And what we're looking at here today is the same thing that somebody in 20 or 30 years from now can say is, yeah, we just met this little place in town hall, and here we are. God is works wonders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're showing me that here. I mean, the bus, the land at half price, just amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Japanese one. Not
yesterday.
Not
yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday I was cleaning out. I said, I better clean out my Chippewa Valley Bible Church file from way back from the start in 96. So I'm going, throwing all these out for recycling when the truck comes to the dump. And then I came across God's Pantry, a sign that I had made years ago. And I thought, you know, I said, I can't do it. Can I do? And I thought, hey, I've been working at the thrift shop all these years, you know, and had this God Pantry. I don't remember whether we collected food at one time and made this little nice sign with calligraphy and everything. And I thought, ooh, something's happening here. So the Lord is just starting, just moving. But I just feel like the most important thing, we really need to be covered in prayer. We need to pray, pray, pray. Against the enemy.
Yeah.
Any other closing thoughts?
Mm-hmm. You know, verse 22, I think, might sum it up. It says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's... The building is a building, you know.
Yeah.
But he's going to use the building project to build his temple in us.
Mm-hmm.
As one body, that is his ultimate purpose, you know, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit with us. And we will be forever connected because of what he's doing in it through us. So
that's the house that's not made with hands.
Right.
That's right. Which is much more important.
Yeah. Well, I think the unity thing that you talk about, it's just so important in this whole thing because... This can be one of those projects that take on the, I guess I got to go up there and work on the church, my obligation,
right.
kind of a feeling. Or we can say, we can get excited that, hey, I'm going to be with my brothers and sisters, and whatever we get done today, it's going to be great because we're going to have a great time together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're either going to look forward to doing this thing, or it's going to be a burden. And I hope that it's something that everybody looks forward to because, you know, I mean, for how long have we talked about this? I mean, I've been involved in this for at least 9 years now, where, well, let's do this, let's do that. And I just never felt like the timing was right on it. And it always kind of got pushed back. And, you know, for God to put everything together now, you know, I just think it's a great time for us to bond together. It's hard when you meet in a place like this because we get to see each other once a week, maybe a couple times a week. You know, it allows us to be able to, we have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And the family meets at that home.
We have to have the right mindset as far as the church goes because a lot of us, well, some of us, think it's nice to have a church that we don't have to set up. Everything's there. You know, it's convenient. But the church is not for our convenience.
Mm-hmm. And it's another set of issues.
Yeah.
Now you got to mow the lawn.
Mark and I used to, 20 some odd years ago, every Sunday, the two of us will go down to to Nanawak High School, get the grand piano from upstairs,
bring it down to
the auditorium, and set up the church every Sunday.
An hour and a half before church started?
Yeah.
Wow, so really?
The two of us just did that every single Sunday.
A long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah. But it was fun. Until
we got thrown out of Nanawak. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was fun. It was a good time because we were running together. We'd get up like at 5 o'clock in the morning, go run Sunday morning.
Yeah,
run
in
the shower.
And
we would meet.
Yeah. And you were young men then, so we have to pray for young men.
Yeah, that's right.
For young men.
Yeah. Wow. Wild horses.
Mark, can I ask you to close
this? Yeah. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have here in America to be able to meet freely like this and to be able to talk about building your church on a piece of property here in Roxbury. And Father, we want more than anything for this to be a project and an endeavor that honors you in everything that we do. And Lord, that when people drive by, when the town looks at us and sees us, they see you. And that's our purpose. Like John said in the beginning, we want to be that light on the hill. We're no longer going to be shrouded here in this building where people really don't know about us. And people ask questions like, well, where do you guys meet? Lord, we'll be out on the hill, and we'll be either a light or we won't be. And so, Father, it's our prayer that we would be a beacon that would shine throughout this community. And Lord, that not only would we be a blessing to the community, but Lord, that it would bring unity and bonds within this body that have never been here before. That we will become so much more like a family, and that we will find ways to serve you that we never thought were possible, and that you'll lead us and guide us through each and every step of the way. Father, thank you again for the Sunday school class that we meet weekly, and we, as John said, we iron sharpens iron, and we speak to one another, and we speak truth, and Lord, we just want that truth in our lives, so help us to apply the things that we learn here, and be with us now, be with Pastor Michael, strengthen him and encourage him as he brings your word this morning. Be with our worship team and its leaders as we worship and praise you, that it would be a sweet, fervent smell to you. Mm. Father, thank you for this day and all that you give us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Thank God.